Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Ziegenkopf have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots good! Bobby Hull!
Junot trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of the net, and shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short cut. Here he is again! Scores! Desjardins!
Fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL Breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com, where we're bringing you all the on- and off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports, including the IR, goalie report, line updates, and waiver wire recommendations. Today is, of course, Friday, November 30th, on the precipice of December 1st, and that's only kind of important in hockey for a couple of smaller reasons, maybe not smaller reasons, at least this year. After Thanksgiving, and we've talked about this in years past on a number of occasions, that the standings are generally about 75 to 80% likely what you have now is usually the playoff teams you have. So as I've teased a couple times the last couple of shows, okay, we're about a third into the season now. We kind of have an idea of what we got, you know, so we'll continue exploring that. The last bunch of shows, George and I have been talking about some kind of middling teams, some teams we thought were going to be pretty bad that have been starting off pretty, at least better than we thought, and maybe some teams that have been that we thought were going to be in the top tier or top half of the league and haven't quite been. So we'll continue that conversation with the Florida Panthers today, and of course have our fantasy reports as always. Get some updates from George on some of those goalie situations he's been expertly keeping track of for the last 4 to 6 weeks that has been very helpful to fantasy owners in particular. And maybe if we have time, they've even dived in and speculated a little bit about just how good Patrick Laine is at goal scoring. But George, let's kick things off with the Florida Panthers. As I said, this is a team that both of us have kind of liked a lot of the parts here for the last couple years. You know, sure, 3-4 years ago, there was some organizational issues about, at least seemingly from what we know, and it was widely reported, maybe we just don't know the specifics, but, you know, there were differences in philosophy between coaches and middle management, upper management, and ownership, and we feel like we saw how in an organization that if you don't have a clear vision, all of you together, how it could sort of make the ship steer awry. Because 3-4 years ago, this was an up-and-coming team with, excuse me, with a lot of young talent, and it seemed like, despite last year's bad start, I should say, the team finally started to figure it out as a whole. So a lot of us were looking forward to the Panthers this year and seeing how, if they could take the next step of being a legit playoff team and the kind of legit playoff team that could sort of cause some noise in the first round or two as they sort of progress and mature. And it seemed, once again, like they had sort of addressed one of the, you know, fewer holes that they had, which was maybe not having a complete top six, to get Mike Hoffman in a trade that was sort of, you know, I think questioned equally, about 50-50 in terms of this good or bad. Yes, he seemed to fill the need that they had, but, you know, he was coming from that drama in Ottawa that he seemed to be the center of, so there's some trepidation there. But at least this one thing with Mike Hoffman seems to work out. He seems to be scoring just fine after the first two games of the season where he didn't put up any points. He's been pretty darn good ever since. So, George, like I said, you know, you had the goaltending, although you've talked about some of the questions there in the last couple show or two. Maybe it's not the world's best defense, but it seems like you have a pretty serviceable defense. And in terms of top six, as I said, it seems like, you know, you got some pretty good pieces, at least before the Trocheck injury. But all these issues that they were happening when Trocheck was healthy. Don't forget that Trocheck's only been gone for a couple games now. So, George, you know, obviously I laid quite a lot out there in setting this up for you with the Florida Panthers. When you look at the situation based on what you've read, based on what you've seen, and the numbers that are in front of you, what do you think is going on with the Florida Panthers? Is this a situation where, okay, the start of the season has been bad enough that you're practically on the verge of punting the season again before Trocheck was injured? And now we know we're not getting him back for months and months and months. So is this a bit of a crash and burn situation? Is this a situation where you can see them turning around and recovering and doing the classic Columbus Blue Jackets thing of a few years ago, when for like three or four straight years they started off terribly and then they made a crazy run for the playoffs, making it 1 year and missing another couple? I mean, isn't that going to be that sort of thing? So what do you see when you see the Florida Panthers, George? Do you think you can recover for this year, or are you seriously worried about where this organization is going for whatever reason? George, Florida Panthers, what do you see? What do you like? What do you hate?
Well, they obviously have some issues. I mean, when you're the third least amount of points in the NHL, you're tied with, Philadelphia, the Devils. I mean, you've got some issues. Yes, you have some games in hand, but, you know, it's getting to the point now where even if you won all the games in hand, you'd still be pretty far behind. Maybe it's the curse of Gerard Gallant and what you did to him. As the coach you mentioned, as far as the issues they had, how they treated him, how they fired him. But I think when it comes down to me, it's goaltending. They're giving up over 3 goals a game. You know, Luongo can't stay healthy. He's good when he plays, but he's hurt again. And, you know, when we'll talk a little more in the goaltending report, but he'll be back shortly. It's December. Does anyone really think he's going to play the next 5 months and not get hurt again? You know, Reimer's a nice backup, but he's been being asked to play too much. So I think that's part of the issue here. Because when you look at the team as a whole, I mean, you like what you see. Yeah, they don't have a superstar. All right, there's no Austin Matthews here. There's no Sidney Crosby or anybody like that. But Dodonov's having a nice season. Barkov's a solid number one. Hoppe's having a very good year. Whatever you think about his personality, he may be a complete jerk. But he's having a good season. We're not hearing any problems with him being there. You know, Jonathan Huberdeau, nice player. Yeah, they lost Trocheck, and you're not getting him back anytime soon. But still, you should be able to survive that. This may not be a world-beater team, but it's certainly not a bad team. You know, defense, I think you put it perfectly. It's, once again, it's not bad. Ekblad, Yandel, Matheson, solid players. You know, so what's going on here? They're just not playing as a team. Are they just getting unlucky? You know, I have a hard time believing that. So the issue seems to me over and over again is, you know, you can't get consistent goaltending because Luongo's always hurt, always out of the lineup there. So I think that's a problem there. Like I said, when you're giving up almost 3.5 goals a game, not going to win too much in the NHL. Even today's NHL, where they're, hey, there's more goals scored than in years past. You're also scoring more than 3 goals a game. So scoring doesn't seem to be the problem. If you have a defense or goaltending, and I think it's goaltending. And I like this team coming in. I did. And now, I have to wonder now, you know, what's why? Why aren't they playing well? You know, what's going on here? Well, what's the reason they're having problems here? And maybe we shouldn't have been so home. By we, I mean anybody else who had them high. I certainly did. Maybe we were expecting too much. Maybe they should have known better than to trust the one goal all season long. He was out for a few months last year as well. You know, it's just history repeating itself. And what's the old saying? Those who don't recognize history are doomed to repeat it. Same problem here. You know, they probably make the playoffs last season if he stays healthy. He didn't. And this year, it's pretty much happened from game one where he got hurt again. You know, so I think this year, I'm going to come down on goaltending here. You know, I can't see any other reason why the problem would exist here. I know they had the European trip. Could that be a problem? Sure. But they weren't playing that well before that. You know, they're pretty much a .500 team over their last 10 games. They score goals but let them up. Or let more up, I should say. So they do have games at hand. Maybe they haven't been able to get to a flow yet because of the as I've complained about all season long, the NHL schedule's been a little off this year, and the European trip. Maybe they're not playing, you know, they're playing too many two-game weeks. Haven't got to the flow of the NHL season. I'm looking for excuses for this team. But the bottom line, Scott, when I keep looking at it, you know, injuries don't listen, the injury to Trocheck was terrible, right? It was. But other than that, they've been a pretty healthy team here. So I think they're missing 3, 4, 5 starters. They're not. It just comes down to the goaltending once again for me. I just keep going back to that.
You know, George, I'm looking and looking, and even, you know, since I knew I was going to ask, you know, about the Panthers, you know, did a little extra, you know, watching of some clips of them, and I'm looking for that reason, looking for that consistent defensive breakdown. I'm looking for that underwhelming, effort maybe up front. But I have to say, for a large degree, I was sort of gravitating to exactly what you're saying because, you know, you're right. You look at the team, and they are scoring. Yes, I think all of us thought that Hoffman was going to settle in on the second line with Huberdeau and Trocheck in there. You'd have your two true, scoring lines since, Dandanoff and Barkov seem to be picking up right where they left off, working together and producing on the top line, and that was before Hoffman joined them. But Hoffman wasn't quite clicking with Trocheck, so he's on the top line. So you have that one really nicely working top line, Huberdeau, 24 points in 23 games, playing on that second line exclusively with Trocheck since before he got hurt. Trocheck's 14 points in 18 games. Perfectly fine, maybe expected 16 or 18 at this point in the season, but still, you're splitting hairs there. So basically, your top six is working and scoring perfectly fine. And from what I've seen, the defense has played relatively well, a little bit up and down. Petrovic in particular, I think hasn't been as good as it's been in years past. But all these are essentially little nitpicky things, George, that I'm picking at and trying to pluck here. I have sort of teased basically what you suggested here because I couldn't think of anything else in our email before the show started saying, is this really just about not being confident in the goaltender? I mean, which does make sense to me, George. It seem very realistic to me that, especially with a team, even though I don't consider this like a baby team, they are still a bit on the younger side. They're in the early mid-20s, a lot of the core of this team, and they've only had so much success and so much experience. So if they don't have that bedrock of at least that solid goaltending, it really seems to be the only thing that's undercutting things here for the Florida Panthers, and actually is what really has me worried, because where are you going to solve this problem? Reimer, he didn't have the greatest stats last year, but he still found a way to win on a regular basis with 22 wins last year. And this year, it's a combination of just not putting up the numbers again, but finding ways to lose and sort of taking a step back there. Then you combine that with Luongo. Coming into last season, it looks like you sort of figured it out. Maybe it wasn't necessarily world leaders, but you're like, okay, you felt that Luongo still had enough of the tank that he played 45, 50 games for you, and Reimer was a super backup where he's going to play 30-plus games for you, and you'd be fine. You'd at least get solid goaltending, and that's not the case. And, we see other teams, i.e. Philadelphia in particular, but other teams as well, that are having just as many issues in goaltending all season and haven't found the problem. So I don't see them turning around and making a trade next week, George, is what I'm saying. And unless the goaltending sort of finds a way to solidify itself, I don't know what you're looking at here. And then it just sort of has me worried that you sort of might undercut the overall long-term development of this team together if it goes through a prolonged stage throughout the season of playing, underperforming, whether it is because of the goaltending or not. So it'll be interesting to see if the goaltending can settle down, whether this team will come around and be the threat like they were at the last two-thirds of last year. Because that could certainly make the Eastern Conference a lot more interesting if that were to happen. All right, folks, let's turn our attention over to the IR and Lines Report, the Fantasy Reports, kicking things off alphabetically as we usually do in Anaheim. Of course, there's always something to talk about in Anaheim in the IR report, although it's actually not necessarily bad. Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm with the lower body injury, missed the last seven games. Not confirmed yet, but it does look like he is in line to return Friday night. He was playing in line rushes today. They did recall a defenseman, so it looks like just in case, so if you're in a daily lineup league, I'm not necessarily just jamming Lindholm back into my lineup automatically at the end of this podcast. I am sort of checking before the game starts to make sure that he is indeed in there. In Arizona, Schmaltz snuggling up with Keller and Galchenyuk, which I think many of us would agree to be the best three offensive players there. First game didn't look too good. Second game, well, Schmaltz at least scored a power play goal, so sort of take a note of that. For any of the Nick Schmaltz owners who might have been disheartened by that trade, maybe it's not going to be so bad after all. Having said that, if I see something I like on the waiver wire, I'm not necessarily holding on to Nick Schmaltz with both hands either. And I am a Nick Schmaltz owner in the league I am in, with George. In Boston, McAvoy with that concussion. I told you the last couple shows he has been skating on his own, but slight upgrade today as he was skating at the full practice with the team, not practicing with the team, but he was skating with the team at the full progress practice. It is baby steps. I think my target that I mentioned last couple shows of maybe this weekend him coming back is unrealistic, but it definitely is, you know, progress. And I think, again, it is going to be sooner rather than later. Again, not looking at like 2-3 more weeks before McAvoy comes back, but it'll probably be at least another 2-4 games before he gets back in the lineup for the Boston Bruins. And Colby Cave being the latest to give an opportunity playing between Pastrnak and Marchand on the top line, replacing Bergeron. Nothing really to speak of, but certainly is notable. Keep your eye on that. And Donato gets recalled and scores the game winner in a shootout for the Boston Bruins. So keep an eye on him, or at least be aware that he is back up and, you know, what could happen there, especially for a team that is looking for offense. In Buffalo, Sheer with an upper body injury has missed the last two games. It's considered possible for tonight's show, for tonight's game. If he does not play again, Tage Thompson is expected to take his place as he did the last game on the second line with Lindstedt and Okposo. Some injuries, though, on the back line with McCabe, an undisclosed injury left Thursday's game early, listed as day-to-day, and Scandella put on the IR. And it looks like, with the express reason of recalling someone, it was said yesterday that Scandella looked like he was close to back, but with McCabe going down, and obviously Scandella seemingly not ready to come back, it looks like that's why they made this move. So do expect the Scandella to come off the IR in just another day or two, as this is kind of an administrative move for the next game or two at the most. In Carolina, Furland, with a confirmed concussion, is listed out, considered out indefinitely. This is day-to-day officially, but do expect it to be at least a week, probably more like two, before you see Furland back in the lineup for the Carolina Hurricanes. And Victor Rask did return last week, playing on the third line, now with McGinnis and Justin Williams essentially taking Jordan Staal's spot in the lineup, as with Furland out of the lineup, Aho moves over to the left wing, and Jordan Staal centers Teravainen and Aho, at least for the next couple of games. In Chicago, Perlini, recently acquired from the Arizona Coyotes, given an opportunity on top line with Taze and with Sade as well. In Colorado, Tyson Barry with a low body injury has this last couple of games. This is doubtful for tonight's, tonight's game for the Avalanche, but they are hopeful he will be able to go on the road trip with them that starts right after this game for the Avalanche as well. In Columbus, Duclair, undisclosed injury, has him officially listed as day-to-day and missed their last game, but Columbus came out and said, well, he was healthy enough to play last night, so he essentially was a healthy scratch. It sounds like a situation where he is a little bit nicked up, but he also hasn't produced anything in four games. The Tortorella said, hey, between the two things, I'm going to sit him, look for Duclair to not be out of lineup too much longer before he gets back in as well. In Edmonton, it looks like they're basically just holding auditions for who the winger is that's going to be playing with McDavid and Drysdale. They've had a number of different players, Kakula, Spooner, and the latest was Chiasson, given an opportunity playing with the big two in Edmonton. Obviously, keep an eye on that situation and see who ends up settling on being, because that could be a good possible fantasy pickup for owners out there as well. And also, Puljuh Jarvi signing. He was recalled, put on second line playing with Kagula and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. In Florida, since Trocheck has gone, it looks like it's kind of been a shuffling of the deck as they've just been moving around all the guys in the second and third line, with the exception of Huberto. Huberto is pretty much that your second line left wing, and everybody else is just kind of moving around there, trying to find a combination that they like. McCain and Hunt now playing with Huberto. Bustad playing on third line with Vetrano and Brouwer. In Minnesota, Niederreiter, who'd been on the fourth line for three or four games, moved back up to top line with Koivu and Parisi as well. In Nashville, well, I guess a hat trick doesn't get you to stay on the top line with Johansson and Forsberg, as Fiala is back there and Watson goes back down to the third line playing with Bonino and Sissons. Yarncock, Hartman, and Craig Smith is your second line, at least for the time being, for the Nashville Predators. For the New Jersey Devils, Joey Anderson, ankle injury, had surgery put on the IR list as week to week, and Johansson had missed one game with a lower body injury, is back in the lineup tonight for the Devils playing with Dacha. and Palmieri on the second line as Brett gets an opportunity on top line with Hershier and Hall. For the New York Rangers, Nemestikov, with a concussion, missed one game, listed officially as day-to-day, but consider out indefinitely, whether that's 3 days or 3 weeks. Obviously, we will find out together. In Philadelphia, tweaking up the lines a little bit with the new coach as the third-line wingers move up to be your second-line wingers as Nolan Patrick now centering James Van Riemsdyk and Wayne Simmonds with Voracek in the most notable one, and Raffel moving down to be the wingers on the third line with Lawton centering there. So it's hard to see Voracek being pushed out of the top six for a long stretch of time, but obviously that's the most notable thing here for fantasy owners, so keep an eye on that situation if you are a fantasy owner out there as well. In San Jose, Meyer, with an upper body injury, got enlisted as day-to-day, did miss Wednesday's game. If he cannot return, it looks like Melky Carson will be taking a spot on the second line with Couturier and Hurdle. Now, LeBlanc had started their last game there, but after one period, it just wasn't working. Put that back down on third line with Sorensen and Thornton, and that's when they put Melky Carlson in there. So as I said, I think Meyer needs to miss a game or two more, then it'll be Carson who gets the call there for the San Jose Sharks. In St. Louis, just sort of want to note that second line. Now, offense is the one thing that by and large has worked so far in St. Louis, but that second line doesn't seem all that impressive with Shen, Fabry, and Robert Thompson. And they're not sort of burning up, the midnight oil, so to speak, and blowing people away with their production. But since they put together the last four games, they do have a total of 9 points. Fabry has 2 points in the last four games. Shen, 4 points in the last four games. And Thomas, 3 points in the last four games. All of them are fairly widely available. Fabry is only 4% owned. Thomas is 1% owned. Shen, of course, is 66% owned. But, again, I'm not telling you to run out and pick up these guys fantasy-wise, but they are certainly showing a little bit of chemistry. Keep an eye on them. If you're in a deeper league and you have some holes in your roster, they might make an interesting flyer to consider. And the same thing with Sanford, who has 3 points in the last in the last three games, playing on the top line with O'Reilly and Tarasenko. So, again, deeper leagues, you just have some injury issues that you need to plug a hole, especially short-term, if you want to see if they have some long-term possibilities. Some of these guys are guys you should pay attention to. Also for St. Louis, Alex Steen with an upper body injury did return after missing six games for the St. Louis Blues as well. Tweaking the lines in Tampa Bay, Matthew Joseph getting an opportunity on top line with Stamkos and Gord, and that drops JT Miller down to the third line with Cirelli and Kilhorn. Also for the Tampa Bay Lightning, McDonough with an upper body injury got cross-checked where he went face-first into the boards. He was not at practice today. He is questionable for Saturday's matchup as well. And something you probably would not have heard anywhere else in the hockey world before today, Austin Matthews did return last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know Toronto, there's nobody there. Nobody pays attention to Toronto, so you probably wouldn't have heard this. So this is breaking news, I'm sure, as I'm being just a little bit sarcastic with that. Scores 2 goals and 1 assist in his first game back, playing exactly where he was before, in between Marleau and Kapanen. Kadri, of course, moves down to the center third line where he's been with Connor Brown and Andreas Johansson as well. And just about 12 hours left, actually more like 9.5 hours, until we have some resolution, at least theoretically, about William Nylander. We talked a lot about that on Monday's show. You might want to hear what George had to say in terms of what to expect, what he expects, and maybe how the situation might play out. You might want to go and check out Monday's show to hear that tidbit, as it will be useful, because I think he's right. But it would be nice both for fans and fantasy owners to have a little bit of resolution, as well as the Maple Leafs themselves. It'll be interesting to see. It's hard to see, as George said on Monday's show, him sitting out the entire season, but we just saw Le'Veon Bell do that in football. Okay, it's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison between the two players, but still, it should be interesting to see what we're talking about tomorrow when it comes to this. In Vancouver, Boeser returned from his injury, playing on the second line with Peterson and Goldobin, and looked pretty good, at least in the second game back, scoring the 2 goals last night. Didn't put up any points in that first game back, though. Horvat playing with Vertanen and Leipzig. I got to be honest, I really have a hard time not seeing Vancouver eventually putting Boeser and Horvat back together. You had Peterson have success already this season, looking good, playing without Boeser. You know Boeser and Horvat have chemistry together, so I do look for that to happen and for Eriksson to eventually be moved back up to the second line to play with Eriksson and Goedlund. As well. In Vegas, again, no major news here, but really, again, just sort of an attention grabber. Team starting to play much better, five games in a row now. Pacioretty's seven-game goal scoring, a point-scoring streak, I believe. He's got seven goals in the last eight games. Tuck with 8 points in the last five games. And we were all kind of worried. We fantasy owners, Stastny was widely drafted, obviously got injured, and that was disappointing, but that's okay. We got ourselves covered. We'll just pick up Hula. And then Hula gets injured, and not too many of you picked up Eakin. And I understand why, but since he has taken over that second-line center position with the other two players out, Eakin's been pretty good these last 12 games. Six goals, six assists, six penalty minutes, plus eight, a power play point, two shorthand points, and just 10% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. I know center is a deep position, but if you are in a deeper league and you need a center, Eakin is a good short-term solution, even though he's not an official suggestion to pick up, which I will obviously get to later in the show when we talk about waiver wire pickups. In Washington, Kunetsov, with that concussion, is confirmed to be returning tonight's play against the Devils, and he'll slide in on the second line between Verana and Connolly after missing the last six games. And I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, to sort of ease him back in the lineup a little bit, and two, that Backstrom-Wilson-Ovechkin line has been playing so well. Why break it up, at least until Oshie eventually comes back, and then you have sort of that situation where you're like, all right, we're all healthy now, what do we do? Speaking of Oshie, there are definitely concerns here. Not too much word on him, but as I mentioned on Monday, this is his fifth concussion. He hasn't even skated at all yet since it happened on November 14th. So you're talking 16 days, hasn't even been on the ice. You have to assume it's a bare minimum of another 2 weeks before he is even possible to get back on the ice. They're obviously going to take this slow because of his concussion history. So if you are a TJ Oshie owner, you are definitely looking to cover yourself for at least a few weeks here rather than just a couple of more games. And finally, in Winnipeg, Bufflin, with a confirmed concussion himself, listed put on the IR out a minimum of a week. But again, it looks like it's realistically at least 2 weeks before he returns. And that second line there in Winnipeg finally starting to figure it out with line A, 13 goals in the last six games. Eller started the season on the second line, been on top line for the last month and a half or so, but he's starting to figure it out. And that Winnipeg team is starting to really look like the team we expected at the beginning of the season. Now, if Hellebuck could just sort of like tighten up his game just a little bit, it looks like we'll basically have the team that we had last year in Winnipeg. George, I do want to sort of play around and talk about line A and whether he'll be the next heir apparent to Ovechkin when Ovechkin is eventually ready to sort of hand over the mantle of league's best goal scorer. But I'm not sure if we have time today, so I'm going to skip it or at least put a pin in it, so to speak. Maybe we'll come back at the end of the show if we have a couple of minutes. But I want to get to the goalie report in part because, as I teased at the top of the show, there's been so much going on with goalies the last month, 6 weeks, really most of the season. It seemed like there was like a 2 or 3 week lull in there. And everything else has sort of been maybe a little more exciting than fans and fantasy owners would have liked, but you've certainly done a great job of keeping track of it and giving some really good warnings about goalies maybe potentially taking over jobs in recent weeks, other goalies losing jobs, and doing a lot of it before other people covering hockey have been talking about it. So I just want to, have you start with the goalie report, basically jumping off that same thing that we've been talking about on a regular basis, is some of these jobs in flux, and see if anything has solidified itself or if it's still a little bit uncertainty. And the two places I'm thinking of in particular is Carolina and Edmonton, because Carolina made a move or two in the last couple of days that would seem to at least suggest that they've got an idea of how they want their goaltending hierarchy to go. But that could just be perception from afar. Do you agree with that? And I know you've been calling Koskinen, in Edmonton, saying for at least last three shows, if not four or five, this is a guy that has to be picked up. He's been getting a lot more regular starts than just a regular backup. And now I'm hearing some people saying that it is official, that he's the guy in Edmonton. But I want to hear it from you before I believe it, George. So obviously I want to start with those two goaltending situations and update us. But obviously, what else you got to tell us about the goaltending around the National Hockey League since your information has been so on point all season so far? George, goalie report. What do you got?
All right. When it comes to goaltending, once again, anybody who follows the show knows, in my mind, maybe at the NFL quarterback, it's the most important position in sports. If you don't have one, you're just not going to be successful on any kind of consistent basis. You need a strong goaltender. The whole team feeds off of it. I mean, the whole team just feeds off of it. You let in a weak goal. We've all played hockey. If you have a goal, you have to worry about it. You know, every game, it's going to be a weak goal every game. The whole team gets depressed. You know you're always down 1-0 automatically. So I think that's the problem. I think that's why in some ways we're seeing some changes this year from goalies we didn't expect to play so poorly. Now, if you want to start off with Edmonton, fine. Talbot, I mean, granted, he really only had one good year. And the whole team had a good year that year. So maybe it wasn't just him. They all, you know, all put on the glass slipper. And it all went well for them in 16-17. Crashed and burned last year and it's continuing to crash and burn this year. So Talbot has had his problems here. Koskinen has come in. And not that he's some top prospect or top great player, but he's played well. And he's stabilized things for Edmonton. And that's something they may feel is enough to give him the starting job. Now, I have not heard that he's the man. I haven't. You know, in the league you and I play, and I did grab Koskinen this week, but that's because I had Craig Anthony sucked, you know, before the shutout. You know, I wanted to grab Rittich, but someone ahead of me in the claim would have got him first, so Koskinen was really probably my third choice there. Once again, I'm a Vasilevsky owner, so I'm struggling there. So I have not heard that he's the man there, but I don't think there's any denying that he should be given at least a little run. Once again, Edmonton, 12-11-2. You know, they're, once again, pretty much a 500 team in there over their last 10. But the games they've won have been Koskinen's. He's playing well. He's the one keeping them in games or winning games outright for them. So, yeah, I think Koskinen is the man for now. But even if they would have declared that he's the number one, he wouldn't get the same He wouldn't get the same he wouldn't get the chances over and over again that another – you know, obvious number one would get. You know, they would go back to Talbot if he had two bad games in a row. It wasn't like he'd get, you know, a couple of weeks of to play poorly before losing the job. They would make that change quick. But if you decide it was in Koskinen or Talbot right now, I think you want Koskinen. I think he's the man in net right now. Carolina, a little different. They placed Scott Darling on waivers. Matter of fact, within the past hour or two, he has cleared waivers. So he'll be sent down to the AHL. They go with McElhenney, who's almost the same situation. Yeah, you know, except that it's more of a three-headed monster there because you got Mrazek there as well. You know, it's another situation I like to say. If you have more than one goaltender, well, then you don't have a number one goaltender. You're playing the hot guy there. And right now, McElhenney is super hot. He is the guy you want, and it's by far. He'll probably get a little longer run where he could play poorly for a little bit and still keep that job because he's played so well. His save percentage is, you know, outworldly where he's really playing great. So he's the guy you want right now. Do I think... Yeah, with both of these guys, Koskinen, McElhenney, is probably a couple of situations we can mention here. Do I think they keep the job all year? No, probably not. Eventually they'll lose it for whatever reason, where they'll go back to the other guy. Or in Carolina's case, one of the other two guys. So that wouldn't shock me in the least. So if it's McElhenney, he's the guy you want now. Darling, like I said, placed on waivers. He cleared. He'll go down to the AHL. But McElhenney's the guy you want right now. Like I said, it's almost a carbon copy of what Koskinen's done. They've both played so well. Rittich is the same thing. They've all replaced the starting goaltenders. Rittich has replaced Mike Smith. McElhenney has replaced, I guess we'll say Darling, but it could be Mrazek as well. And Koskinen's replaced Talbot. Do I think any of them keeps the job all season long? No, but I think they deserve a longer run than just a typical backup, one bad game, you're out. You know, Rittich, well, we didn't talk about him, has definitely outplayed Mike Smith. Mike Smith has been struggling all season long, ugly numbers here. Mike Smith is going to play tonight. Rittich, obviously... there's Mike Smith on line one. Rittich had a call go against him on Monday, and the call was in overtime. He was clipped from behind, and the NHL ended up ruling that he had enough time to get set up. And we can debate this all you want. I don't know if you saw the play, but they ruled that the goal should count. They lost the game. Rittich threw his stick in the direction after breaking the stick in half. Rittich threw his stick in the direction of the refs. So they didn't show how close the stick came to the refs, but I expect him to get at least a fine. I also wonder if he would have got a phone call from them saying, hey, you know, that's a weapon. You can't be throwing your stick at them. Whether you're displeased with the call or not, can't be doing that. So keep that in mind here about any discipline for Mr. Rittich. That's why. But I don't really expect a suspension because he threw it 120 feet. The refs were far away. He wasn't going to hit them in anything but the skates. But still something you cannot do here. But if I was going to claim these guys, if I was having a draft and I had to pick one of these guys right now, Rittich, McElhinney, Koskinen, that's probably the order I would go. Rittich, McElhinney, Koskinen, as far as guys I'd want right now. So they're all, once again, it's good if you're weak in goaltending. If you're looking for a goaltender on any given day, hey, you know you got somebody because there are a lot of guys out there. Guys who have returned this week, Quick has returned. No shock. We mentioned on Monday show that we thought he'd be back by the end of the week. He came back even quicker than that. Ha, little pun there. He did lose. I think the interesting thing here is they sent down Peter Budaj, not Cal Pettersson. You know, so that was interesting. It doesn't really mean much for fantasy, but it lets you know how, well, I guess maybe a thank you for Pettersson, because usually you still keep the veteran. Because he knows how to be a backup. You want the younger player, Pettersson, to play. So you send him down to the AHL. You don't want him just sitting behind Quick. Yeah, I don't think there's anything where they're worried about Quick being hurt again. That doesn't make much sense to me. I just think this was a situation where they were actually keeping the best goaltender on the NHL team. Maybe this also means, if you could take it this way, that they're going to give Quick, at least in the short term, more rest that they to protect them from the injury. They're going to ease them back in, and that's why they wanted to keep Pettersson. So keep that in mind as well. Just found that a little curious there that Budaj was the one sent down. Philadelphia, another team. They don't know how to goaltender. I don't care how you want to look at it. They put Picard on waivers. He was claimed by Arizona. Another team that's a disaster in net. Newberth was activated from IR. Elliott is going to be out longer than expected. You know, it's just, wow. So much going on in Philadelphia. Fantasy-wise, you don't want any of these goaltenders. You don't want to be starting any of these guys. It won't be a good situation here. We had Ron Hextall come out today and said he was surprised. He caught him off guard, didn't see it coming, he's firing. Well, Ron, if that's true, then really you're not paying attention. Then you deserve to be fired. So like I said, it's a mess in Philadelphia. It has been a mess in net for a long time. They didn't specify how much longer they expect Elliott to be out. Originally it was 2 weeks. Now they're saying that's obviously not going to be correct. I don't know if it's 2 more weeks, a month, 3 months, the rest of his career, next week. We don't know. Just that it's going to be longer than expected. Newbert's going to be activated. I imagine he'll be the starter, sort of. But I think this team is plain and simple. Philadelphia, last place in the Metro Division. And they have to go with the hot goaltender. They don't have a choice here. Have to go with the hot goaltender here. They're giving up just south of 4 goals a game here. They have all sorts of issues here through the Philadelphia Flyers. But like I said, you don't want any of them. Arizona, I mentioned, they claim Picard. The Ranta situation was strange. It was just strange. Before we start where he re-injured the injury, we had heard that the Coyotes weren't sure if he should play because of the injury, that they were concerned about it. You started him anyway. Really, how stupid are you? If you think he's going to re-injure himself, why are you playing him? Keep him out of the game. It's just weird, really strange for me when I heard this, because I remember seeing it was a strange note that you just don't see that they're, what? And you put him in, what? Weird. So Hunter Misk is back with the team. So they claim Picard. It's a mess. Purely it's a mess there in Arizona. But once again, if you were playing Ranta, you probably had issues anyway. He's no better than the third goaltender as is. Dallas, Bilsit returned yesterday off IR. Originally we heard it might be this weekend, but a couple of days early, great. So Hudobin not as valuable now. Landon Beau was sent back down to the AHL. Tampa Bay Lightning, they're playing games at the back of goaltending, which we see so many teams do, which is fine. Edward Pasquale is sent down, and they called up Connor Ingram. This is purely to get Pasquale some games, get him some game action in the AHL, because they've used Domingue game in and game out. And Domingue's been okay, getting Ws, which if that's all you care about is great, but his, as expected, his ratios have been less than great, 5 goals and 18 shots last night against the Sabres. Luongo, we're hearing conflicting reports. Earlier in the week, we were told next Tuesday would be a day he could return here. Now, Bob Bowner said he could return tomorrow. So we're getting some good news there for Florida. That Luongo could return as early as tomorrow. I think you know how I feel about this, Scott. If you're a fantasy owner, you want him to return tomorrow, but you don't want to start him. It's great in a weekly league because you get to see him tomorrow, get to see how he plays. Does he look good? Yeah, they're playing Tampa Bay tomorrow. I think that's also one of the reasons why they're thinking about starting him, not Tampa Bay, but they play back-to-back games. You know, so they need a backup. They need a goaltender anyway for the second game. Maybe they want to go with Hutchinson. So we could put Luongo in there. But if you're a fantasy owner, you wouldn't want to start him against Tampa Bay anyway. So you get to watch him play, see if he looks good. You can plug him into your lineup there. So we'll talk more about Luongo on Monday's show. But it looks like he could return as early as tomorrow versus the Lightning. Really, that's all we have. Everything else is pretty much status quo. We don't have any updates on Vasilevsky. They're being very hush-hush about when he might return. If you go by the numbers, it could be within the next 10 to 14 days. But the fact that we're not hearing anything always makes me think that it could be a little longer. But with goaltending, it seems to be once you hit the ice, you're there within four or five days that you'll be back in the starting lineup. So it could be that quick as well. So goaltending, once again, it's I don't think it's a terrible report, unless you're a Philadelphia goaltender or an Arizona goaltender. But this does seem to be a weird year, Scott. You and I have been doing this for a long time. And I always hate to say, well, this is the first time ever. That's probably not true. But it's the first time I can remember where we have so many situations where a goaltender has been replaced, where the number two has not only outplayed him, but has taken over the starting job and might get a little longer run than we expected. In Rittich, in Koskinen, in McElhinney now. I don't remember this before, which 10% of the league is might change goalies and go with the number two here. So it is a strange year, which always makes me wonder, you know, we've been talking about so many firings of late. You know, our team's feeling the pressure now. You have to win now, so you can't let the starting goaltender figure it out. You have to go with the backup. If he's playing well, he's going to play, which I kind of agree with. You know, I think the guy who's playing better is the guy who should play, especially when you don't have an established number one. And all these goaltenders we're talking about that have been replaced, Cam Talbot, one good year 2 years ago. Mike Smith, all right, you know, he's been okay. He's been better than, a Cam Talbot type of goaltender, but he's played so poor this year, I don't think Calgary had a choice here. They had to make the change. And in my mind, Carolina didn't have a starting goaltender. I know it was still sold on Darling. Mrazek's been bouncing around. Maxwell's McElhinney, but he's come in there and stabilized position here. But are we going to see more of a change here in the NHL where teams are going to go more, hey, this guy's playing well. I don't have a Hall of Famer. This guy's playing.
Very good point there, George. And I certainly think the equipment issue that we sort of been talking about earlier in the season where, you know, goalies are sort of still adjusting and not quite comfortable, don't quite like it. I think that has effect here. But you're right. Sort of, it is the 14th year we're doing the show, George. And there have been plenty of times throughout the each and every year where, George, there has been a goaltender situation, a couple of situations where it's in flux and we talk about it. We need to deal with it, whether it's an injury or a player not playing. But I don't remember the volume having it this many situations this often. A couple of weeks ago, I sort of ended up, before we did the show, just before the show started one day, I sort of counted up every single team that at least had a minor goaltending issue for at least a handful of games, you know, where their number one went down and missed three or four games, or their goaltenders weren't playing well, and it was like 18 or 19 out of 31 teams, George. You know, so the flux in goaltending this year has been far exceeded so far, at least here in the early going, at more than it ever has before. And this, again, you know, going back to the point that you always make, that you just made a little bit earlier about the fact that outside of maybe quarterback in sports, goaltender is probably the most important individual position in hockey. That is why I always have you do the goaltender report, George, because I love your work and you're so on point at it and on point with it. And it's the little extra content of like the points that you made with Peterson and Quick in L.A. and why they kept probably, and obviously we don't have confirmation, but it does make a lot of sense to me, especially since you've seen L.A. make this mistake a couple times with Quick in the past over the years of maybe bringing back a little bit too early and maybe sort of rushing back to a full load. You know, so it's all those little intricate details that really sort of make a difference with the goalie report in particular, and I sort of love the way that you broke down the goaltending situations in Carolina, Calgary and Edmonton, and really putting in that realistic perspective that, hey, if you have some goaltending problems right now, these are the guys that you want to and need to pick up, but don't necessarily expect them to be carrying the mantle for you for your number two fantasy goaltender in March. They could, but probably not. So once again, excellent job, George. And you know the follow-up question I'm always asking you, which is asking for fantasy goaltender recommendations for this weekend on a Friday. Now, we always look first at those teams playing two games this week, and particularly the ones that have back-to-back situations, since obviously that facilitates the backup goaltending start to start that we're sort of looking for most of the time here. Other times looking for that low on number one goaltender that might still be out there in shallower leagues. So, George, looking at the landscape, you got 15 teams, half the league, playing two games this weekend. 9 out of those 15 are in back-to-back situations, assuming my math is correct, which is not always a foregone conclusion, but I think it's right today. So, George, looking at that situation, who are the guys that you're looking at as the best possible streamer options for fantasy owners if they need to cover an injury or they're looking to, at least on a short-term basis, cover a bad playing goaltender they already have on their team? George?
Yeah, you mentioned it. 15 teams playing at least. No one's playing three games this weekend. So 15 teams playing two games this weekend. So we do have some options, right? And that's what we're looking for, options. Yeah, it's the most important thing to me. I just want something. I want to have a chance to have something here. So you look at the teams that are playing. Anaheim has got two of those games, but they're not back-to-back. Carolina tonight, Washington on Sunday. We know Gibson's playing tonight, so at best-case scenario, Miller on Sunday. I think we'll pass against Washington. Calgary, like I said, they're already starting Mike Smith tonight against the Kings, which means Rittich could go Sunday. But I'll say it again. Rittich, Koskinen, McElhinney, these guys should already be picked up. Right, they should already be picked up. If Rittich, Koskinen, or McElhinney's out there, well, grab them. You might have a starting goaltender to get your backup. So I'm not going to go through those guys. I already said Carolina plays Anaheim tonight. They got the Kings on Sunday. Chicago, I mean, they're playing, what, Nashville and Calgary. You want to go at Ward? Good luck to you. I'll pass. Colorado, Grubauer's in the sort of not really in the same category as the other three I mentioned, McElhinney, Rittich, and Koskinen. But he's another guy. He's a backup that should be owned because he will play more often than your normal backup there. So I think Varlamov is confirmed for tonight. So you're not going to get him anyway. Grubauer's next best chance to go is Sunday against Detroit, and we'd obviously want him there. Detroit also plays back-to-back games, but when I barely touching Jimmy Howard, more or less the backup there. Your first guy in consideration is probably James Reimer for Florida. The problem is, you know, playing Buffalo. What I like about it, well, it's the second half of back-to-back games tonight. What I don't like about it is, damn, Buffalo's played well. Even last night, you know, hey, they had their 10-game winning streak snap. But, you know, they all lost by a goal in Tampa. Yeah, I get it. Domingue didn't play well. That's why the game was close. But still, you know, it tells you something about the Sabres here. But Reimer is in consideration. I don't love it, but he's in consideration. Kings tonight, they expect Pettersson to play tonight against Calgary. Don't love that either. Kings are playing a little bit better. You know, a little bit better than the beginning of the season here, but, you know, back-to-back nights, never a favorite of mine, so be careful there. Montreal, no thank you. Devils, I guess Schneider is the backup. He's the guy you'd be looking at, but I expect that he's owned and won't be available, and you're not starting him tomorrow against Winnipeg anyway. Kincaid goes tonight against Washington, and Kincaid, like so many of these other guys, over and over again, we keep going through this. He should be owned already as a do you even consider Kincaid the backup? Is Schneider the backup? Weird situation there. But Kincaid should be owned. If anything, Schneider shouldn't be owned. Rangers, I don't know. Once again, it's almost the same situation. If Lundqvist gets the Saturday start against Montreal, they'll give you Georgiev against Winnipeg. And that's not what I want. You know, I don't think any of us wants that. Here's my number one for this weekend as far as pure backup. And we talked about this on Monday as well. That's Aaron Dell, San Jose, back-to-back against Ottawa and Montreal. So you get a pretty good matchup whichever game he gets. And, you know, once again, he's available. So Aaron Dell for San Jose. I know San Jose's not playing all that great. Tomorrow could be a zoo for San Jose as Carlson's going back to Ottawa. That should be interesting. And Carlson didn't handle it all that well the other day for a media scrum in the locker room. So we'll see what happens there. But Dell is somebody you could put in your lineup there. St. Louis, another up-and-down team. A lot of bad teams have these back-to-backs this weekend, which makes it difficult. Maybe you could think about it tomorrow. St. Louis plays Arizona. Arizona has issues of their own, a lot of issues of their own, actually, in that they're struggling here. Maybe think about Chad Johnson tomorrow. He's somebody that you could look at because of who they're playing, assuming Jake Allen starts tonight, and he is starting tonight. Washington does not play back-to-back, so no Copley love this weekend more than likely. Winnipeg, another team you could think about putting in Laurent Brossard. I think he'll get the Rangers on Sunday. Don't know that for sure. They haven't announced that, but he's an option for me. So outside of the guys who – the backups who should be owned on an every week basis, really it's Aaron Dell for me. Reimer's in second, and I'm probably going down to Chad Johnson as my third call, assuming he gets a start tomorrow against Arizona.
All right, great recommendations. As always, George, I'll let you go as I wrap things up. I sort of was tempted to talk about that Carlson thing. Maybe if we have time on Monday, we'll talk about that and his visit back to Ottawa. Anyway, we'll figure it out over the weekend. Either way, George, have a good weekend. I'll let you go as I wrap things up with the skater recommendations. Looking at the schedule that George just laid out for us, the two schedules that pop up as most promising to me is the Carolina schedule playing a struggling Anaheim team and a struggling L.A. team. And then the San Jose Sharks on the road against Ottawa and Montreal. Both are particularly enticing. But you have a lot of those teams that are playing two games this week that have one particularly appealing matchup and one very kind of meh matchup. But looking at sort of if you're just looking for one-offs for, to pick up a free agent for tonight, that Anaheim-Carolina game. I actually sort of like players from both teams to potentially pick up from an offensive standpoint. Colorado against St. Louis I find kind of intriguing as well. Maybe a Kerfoot in particular against that badly defending St. Louis team. On Saturday, a couple of matchups that jump out at me. Dallas playing against Vancouver. Vancouver is certainly struggling quite mightily. And San Jose against Ottawa are both particularly appealing for Saturday, even though for those daily lineup leagues, that's usually a day that is quite full. On Sunday, San Jose again and Carolina again. And hence why you see why I have them as my two teams sticking out. But Sunday, San Jose against Montreal and Carolina against L.A. are a good way to end a week for your fantasy team, I believe. As far as specific player recommendations, how about Jordan Staal? The Carolina center is only 27% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues, but he has been moved up to the top line with Furland out, so he's centering Aho and Teravainen. And the last five games, he does have 3 assists and 6 penalty minutes in that really good schedule for this weekend as well. If you're looking for a winger, how about LeBlanc for the San Jose Sharks? Left wing, right wing eligible, at least in Yahoo leagues, 15% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo in the last 7 games, 1 goal, 6 assists, 4 penalty minutes, 4 power play assists, averaging 2.5 shots on goal per game, which is exactly what you want from your scores. And he's not just playing with Thornton on that third line, which is so tempting, but he's also on the first power play unit. You got Ottawa and Montreal on the road this weekend, and then Carolina and Dallas starting into next week. So I think he has sort of a nice 3 or 4 game stretch out of LeBlanc in particular. And how about Tom Wilson? Get him while he's hot. Why not? Tom Wilson, the Washington right wing, 62% owned, so he's really scratching the ceiling of where we're going to recommend players at a higher ownership percentage that we're not going to recommend for you because it's just not going to be available for enough of you guys out there. But in the 8 games since he has returned, 6 goals, 6 assists, +6, 11 penalty minutes, 2.5 shots per on goal per game, 2.5 hits per game as well, which is particularly impressive playing on the top line with Backstrom and Ovechkin. Got New Jersey and Anaheim for this weekend. And, you know, if you're looking for penalty minutes, he's playing divisional rivals this weekend. That can't hurt either. That's usually when you have those sort of Russian tumble players, the power forward types, the grinder types, you know, divisional games more likely to garner penalty minutes as well. So if you're looking for that, if you're not interested in the scoring that and the hitting that Wilson provides, he could possibly be good for you that way as well. Looking ahead towards next week, these are not recommendations for this weekend in particular, but for next week, but mostly because both these players are just playing 1 game this week. But Vegas Golden Knights, Riley Smith, great year last year. He was a bit of a fantasy darling, having been picked up off the waiver wire for most of us last year. And because of that, he was drafted by a lot of us this year and then dropped because the beginning of the season was so terrible, at least offensively, for the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, left-wing, right-wing eligible player who's 49% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues has been heating up along with the team in the last 7 games, 1 goal, 9 assists, 5 power play points, and a shorthanded point, of course, playing on that top line, playing Edmonton this weekend. But more importantly, next weekend, Washington, Chicago, and L.A., 2 of those 3 games look pretty good. But I think he could be, especially depending on what your league setup is, and if you need assist in particular, he could be a long-term pickup for your fantasy team. And I mentioned Cody Eakins, also of those Vegas Golden Knights. The center's only 10% owned, and as I talked about in detail before, in the last 12 games, 6 goals, 6 assists, at least for another 2, 3, 4 weeks. He could be a nice stop-back center position player for you if you're looking for center. And it could be even longer, depending on when Hula and Stastny do come back. And if Eakin has established a really great chemistry and continue this production, and it's another 4, 6, 8 weeks before any of these guys come back, don't be surprised if Gallant keeps him there. But, yes, I am sort of thinking this as a longer, short-term position substitute at center. Eakin is definitely a guy you want to look at. All right, folks, that's all that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed all that we had to tell you, and hope you enjoy us every Monday, every Friday at 2, or listen to us later on, as I know most of you do. Either way, have a good hockey weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.